Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not sure if Mike did the gospel reading last week about the vineyard and the story about the two sons. Yes? The one that was invited to go into the vineyard and said no, and he went. And the one who said, yes, I'll go, who didn't. And I always think of the vicar of Dibley's council member who used to say, yes, 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 no, no, no. I think it's a good example. In that parable, Jesus was challenging the chief priests and elders who were set in their minds and ways and were not able to be open to the message that either John the Baptist or Jesus came to give, and needed what they call a change of heart. I like that. I wonder when or if there have been times when you yourselves have had to have a change of heart. In today's gospel reading, it's another vineyard story. Ever had anything to do with tenants? Tenants. Yes? Was it a good experience or a bad experience? Both. That seems to be the norm, that there's good experiences of tenants and bad experiences of tenants. I want to share with you a story that William Willimon shares in his commentary. Some of you might even be able to relate to it. A family who lived in a beautiful house beside a blue lake was surprised to hear a knock on the door one morning. They stood at their front door. There stood on their front door a couple with two children. They were even more surprised when the couple told them, "We are your long-lost relatives from the West. We have come to visit you for a couple of days. Could we come in?" The family, though surprised by these relatives, whom they had never heard of, graciously received them into their home and began to graciously entertain them for the next couple of days. After 2 days had passed, the relatives said they would like to stay a few days longer. The family graciously agreed. But then the family began to notice that their guests, their long-lost relatives, were beginning to behave less like guests and more like permanent residents. The relatives began to redecorate the room that they'd been given. In fact, they spilled out of the guest room and took over two additional rooms in the house, rearranging the furniture, taking pictures off the walls and putting different pictures up, and that they had brought with them, and in general, acting as if they owned the place. Still, the family tried graciously to welcome them and make them feel at home. The trouble was, the guests were beginning to feel a bit too much at home. 2 weeks went by, and still the relatives, whom the family thought were only temporary guests, were still with them. One day, there was a knock on the door, and the family was surprised to see six people standing at the door, holding their suitcases. They had never seen the people before and were startled when their relatives called out from the four rooms they had now occupied in their house. "Oh, those are some of our friends from the West. We told them what a nice house you live in and invited them to come and stay with us for a visit. We knew you wouldn't mind because you're so gracious." Well, I won't go into the rest of the story, he writes, but you can probably figure out how it ended. After a couple of months, the family had been reduced to living in one only room plus their bedroom, while the temporary guests had taken over the entire house for themselves. Eventually, in dismay, the family, feeling like strangers in their own home, moved away, driven out by those whom they had once received so graciously. It's a bit of a story and a half, isn't it? Mind you, we've had a few guests like that. The vineyard that was planted by the owner in the gospel story had every possible advantage. A hedge, a wine press, a tower, everything needed to produce good fruit. Might we put that in the context of the world for a moment? Created by God, we have been given every good thing in it to care for, to share, to nurture, and to bear fruit. In fact, it feels as though we've actually taken it over, made it our own, forgotten that we only ever were given the responsibility to look after it and to bear fruit. Rightly, servants were sent to collect the fruit, to collect the rent, so to speak. The prophets were sent to challenge what we have done with the vineyard, and they were rejected. The vineyard is ours, and we'll do with it what we like. Don't you tell us what to do with it. That sometimes feels very familiar as well. The owner of the vineyard is so patient. He keeps sending others who are also killed. Like, it's a really terrible story, isn't it? Of what happens here when somebody has been given everything and then treat the owner in such a way. He now is thinking of sending his son. And you might think to yourself, well, why would you do that? They've killed everybody else that I've sent. What might they do with my son? He sends his own son. The tenants get even more greedy and say to each other, he is the heir of the vineyard, we get him and we get it all. And they actually kill the son as well. Originally, this story was in Israel, and it was Israel that was being spoken about. How God had sent so many of the prophets. We know the story. We've been hearing about Moses and how Moses led the people out of Egypt and how he cared for them on that journey. Still, there were people that were not listening. Jesus now uses that story to put the then situation into context. He is again challenging the scribes and the Pharisees who are not bearing fruit, talking the talk, but actually not walking the walk. Matthew now uses it to speak to the church who has been called into being. What might that actually mean? Might that mean that the church also has been given everything that it needs? And it really struck me when I reread that reading this morning before I left home that it actually says if you don't use it and you don't bear fruit, it will be taken away from you. I don't know after how many times that I've read that passage that little bit didn't hit me. What might that mean? That we've been given everything to bear fruit, and if we don't use it and we don't do it, it might be taken away from us. You see, what we do with what we have got is crucial to our life in this place. And you might say to yourselves, okay, well, what have we been given? That might be a good question to ask ourselves. What have we been given as a community of faith? Probably the most important thing, that God has actually given us the gift of faith. That He's given us a place where we can gather, a place where we can meet, a place where we can have our faith nurtured, a place where the Holy Spirit is able to strengthen us in order to bear fruit. You see, we don't exist just for ourselves in this place. We exist for others. I think the strongest word in this whole parable for us this morning is, if we don't, it will be taken away from us. And it will be given to somebody else, it says. And I wonder who that might be. The gospel doesn't tell us who that might be. But I think that that will be like the parable of last week. Do you remember which ones in the last week's story responded to the good news? Does anybody remember? Jesus accuses the scribes and the Pharisees of not listening and not walking the walk, and he tells about those who do. Does anybody remember who they were? Absolutely. The tax collectors and the prostitutes. You know, there's a real challenge there. And it enables us to ask the question, what have we done with it? You know, the chief priests and the elders, they so hated Jesus. Not all of them, of course, but certainly the ones that are mentioned in the gospel. They never seem to get it. And it doesn't matter how many times that Jesus has answered their questions, although the way he answered the question last week was with another question. Jesus is so clever. Who would the kingdom be given to? The starving? The wounded? The suffering? The poor? It all depends, doesn't it, on the fruit that we bear. You know, I find this a really challenging story. What does it mean that we've been given everything we need to be the church? I don't think that we actually like asking ourselves that question, because it's a really costly question. How staid are we in our own understanding of what the future of this congregation might be, or what it might look like? Are we willing to have a look at what we might need to do in order to be the church of the future? And that's really tough stuff. And Wes and I were at the steering committee meeting last Thursday, where the project group, of which I'm a member also, have come together and thought, this proposal is not going to work. The proposal that you all voted in favour of, we don't think it's going to work. And that is after a long discussion and lots of prayer. And the project group is working really hard on something that might look very different. So different that it might actually give you a shock when you hear more about it, and we're not at that stage yet. So what might it mean for us to be part of this Cardinia Casey mission area, to be the church, to reach out to others, to collaborate with each other, to share and bear the fruits that we might have in this congregation with somebody else? That's a very different way of the possibilities that are going to be confronting us. And I really invite you this morning to pray about it. Pray for the project group and for the steering committee. And search in your own hearts all those things that you hold so special about how you understand the church to be, and your willingness maybe to have a change of heart. And to ask God, okay, we're in a vineyard together. We've been working hard in this place. What is it and how is it that you want us to continue to bear fruit? How might we be the people of God and bear much fruit for the owner of the vineyard? Let us pray. Loving God, the words of a hymn are helpful this morning. Grant us a forward look, forgetting past distresses. May we your vineyard tend with joy that love expresses. Inspire our stewardship as we live out your care. Stay with us in the church and go with us everywhere. Amen.